From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. When most people think about Jesus, they picture him as he appeared in his first coming, a gentle teacher, a compassionate healer, and a loving Savior. But the Bible tells us there's much more to the story. Today, we're beginning a fascinating new study on the end times that reveals the complete picture of Jesus Christ and his triumphant return in the last days. My message is titled, Jesus, the Subject of Prophecy, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
All the colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind, every dream that reaches out, reaches out to find love again. Every word of every story, every star in every sky, every corner of creation, let's testify.
Jesus is the most talked about person in human history, but we can't fully grasp who Jesus is until we understand both his first and his second coming. In his powerful new book, Jesus Revealed in the End Times, Dr. Robert Jeffress unveils the glorious return of our Savior. Learn what his triumphant return means for your life today. Request your copy of Jesus Revealed in the End Times when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory.
What comes to your mind when you hear the name Jesus Christ? For millions of Americans, they think of the face of Jonathan Rumi. Now, let's be clear, Jonathan Rumi did not come from heaven to earth. He came from hell to earth. Well, to be more specific, Hell's Kitchen, New York, where he was born in 1974. As a young man, he wanted nothing more than to be a well-known actor. As a young adult, he went to Hollywood, had little success there. When he was down to his last $20, he knelt down and prayed that God would miraculously intervene in his life. 2 months later, he was selected to play the lead character, Jesus Christ, in the hit series, The Chosen. People think about Jonathan Rumi when they think about Jesus. Rumi said about his character, "Jesus is the only character who I would hope to stay in character as all the time." He said he has some challenges, though, playing Jesus. He said people come up to meet him and are expecting a spiritual encounter. He said that can be hard to live up to. I am not Jesus. Jesus is the most portrayed person in human history. There is absolutely no way to calculate all the books that have been written about him, the paintings that have tried to depict him, the actors who have portrayed him. And yet what all of these depictions about Jesus have in common is they all seem to center on the first coming of Jesus, Jesus as he appeared when he was here on earth. But what about now? What does Jesus look like as he sits at the right hand of God the Father? What will Jesus be like in the end times? The fact is, you can't understand the totality of who Jesus is until you understand both his first and his second comings. And when you understand who Jesus will be when he comes in the end, that is the answer to the most basic questions we have in life. Questions like, what is my purpose? How can I have a relationship with God? And what does the future hold for me? It's that last question that is perhaps the most relevant to people here and are watching this broadcast. What is the future for me? The world begins and ends with Jesus Christ, and so do you and I. And that leads to the first truth I want us to understand as we begin this series, Jesus Revealed in the End Times. The first truth is this: the focus of prophecy is a person rather than an event. The focus of prophecy is a person rather than an event. You know, that can bring relief to us when we understand who Jesus really is. Remember, in his first coming, the majority of people rejected him because he didn't meet their expectations of what they were looking for in a Messiah. And so the average Israelite was confused about who Jesus was. The religious leaders took advantage of that. They rejected Jesus and said, if you really want to know God, keep our laws, keep our endless list of rules and regulations. And to those people, listen to what Jesus said. Familiar words from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, if you want rest, if you are weary, you're crushed down with burdens, come to me. I understand who I am. There is rest in knowing who Jesus is. And that leads to a second truth: the purpose of prophecy. What is the purpose? Why does God spend so much time talking about prophecy? You know, I think about 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Paul is introducing the subject of the rapture, and he said to the Thessalonians, for we do not want you to be ignorant, unaware about those who sleep in Christ, those who have died before the rapture or the return. There's no premium on being ignorant about the end times. You know, there's some people who say, "Oh, I don't bother about the end times. I just leave all that to God. You know, I'm not premillennial or postmillennial. I'm just panmillennial. I believe it will all pan out in the end." Well, that's real cute, but it's really ignorant. And there's no premium on ignorance in the Bible. God did want us, God does want us to understand the end times. That's why he gives so much space to it. But it's more than something to fill our heads. It needs to fill our heart. Understanding the end times ought to change the way we live. And that leads to the purpose of Bible prophecy. There are two things that should fill our hearts because of our understanding of Jesus in the end times. First of all, our hearts ought to be overflowing with hope. God gave us this truth to give us hope. Somebody has said, man can go 40 days without food. He can go 8 days without water. He can go 4 minutes without oxygen, but he will only last a few seconds without hope. We all need hope, and hope is in short supply these days. We need hope. Hope, what is it? It's a desire for something we don't already have. In Romans 8, verses 24 and 25, Paul writes, "Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently." God wants to fill us with hope, and we don't find hope just in events, but in the person who controlled those events, Jesus Christ. Secondly, a study of prophecy and Jesus in the end times should fill our hearts with a desire for holiness. Holiness. The fact that Jesus is coming back again ought to fill us with a desire to obey God, to please God, to follow him in every part of our life. Quick 60-second review. Remember, the Bible uses two phrases to describe the end of time. There is the phrase, the last days. The last days, the Bible talks about the last days, and technically the last days are that time between Christ's first coming and his second coming. Ever since Jesus ascended back into heaven more than 2,000 years ago, we have been living in the last days anticipating his second coming. The Bible uses that term in several places. Acts 2:17, on the day of Pentecost, when the followers of Jesus had been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Remember, Peter preached to the crowd on the southern steps of Jerusalem and said, this is an anticipation. This is a fulfillment of what the Bible says. And he quotes an Old Testament verse that says, and it shall be in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. The second phrase, the end times, that's the other phrase used to describe the last period on earth, the end times. You find it in Matthew 24, verse 3. Remember, Jesus was on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and as he was sitting there, the disciples came to him saying, Lord, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus skipped over answering the when. He would say later in Matthew 24, 36, it's not for you to know the time or the epochs. You're not in that business. But he did say you need to understand the events. And Jesus began his description of the end times, starting with the tribulation and going through the second coming and ending with the millennial kingdom, the establishment of Christ's kingdom on earth. So let's look at some of the roles that we're going to examine and study in depth that the end times reveal about Jesus. First of all, Jesus as Messiah. In the end times, we see Jesus as Messiah. Now, we refer to Jesus as Jesus Christ. It's funny how many people think Jesus is his first name and Christ is his last name. No, that's not it. Christ, Christos, means Messiah, the anointed one. And Jesus, when he came the first time, he was the long-awaited Messiah. He was born in human form. He grew up. He taught many things. He was followed by some, rejected by most. He was betrayed, crucified, risen from the dead, and he ascended back into heaven. That was all in his first coming. When Jesus came the first time, most people rejected him. But when he comes the second time, all will follow him. We're living in that time between the first and the second coming of Christ. It's a period of time that Paul referred to in Romans 11, 25. He said, "For I do not want you," he was talking to Jews here, "I don't want you to be uninformed of this mystery so that you will not be wise in your own estimation that a partial hardening has come to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." Because Israel rejected Christ at his first coming, God temporarily put Israel on the shelf. They are still his chosen people. Will God desert his people? Never. As we watch the unfolding chaos in the Middle East, we need to remember that to be on Israel's side is to be on the right side of history and the right side of God. Nevertheless, God has temporarily set aside Israel and opened this time for Gentiles to participate in the Abrahamic covenant in a different way, but to participate in it. We call this age the age of the church. The age of the church will end with the rapture of the church, and the final 7 years of God's dealing with Israel will commence, and they will eventually see Jesus as the Messiah. Secondly, we'll look at Jesus as prophet. Jesus also made many prophecies about the future. Some of them have been fulfilled. Some are yet to be fulfilled. But because of all of the amazing things that have already come true that Jesus prophesied, we can have confidence that those things that haven't come true will come true. That's what we're going to look at in this message about what has come true that Jesus prophesied, what is yet to be fulfilled. Thirdly, we're going to look at Jesus as a lamb. It's a constant image in both the Old and New Testaments. Remember in the Old Testament, under the sacrificial system, lambs were stand-in sacrifices. There was nothing about the blood of a lamb that could wash away sins, but it all pointed to the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who would come. Remember in John 1:29, when John the Baptizer saw Jesus for the first time, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth." It took a perfect lamb, Jesus himself, to take away our sins. Interestingly, another John the Apostle, also uses the image of a lamb in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Fourth, we'll look at Jesus as conqueror. You know, the reason so many people miss Jesus at his first coming is he didn't check all the boxes. They wanted a conquering Messiah who would overthrow whom they thought was their greatest enemy, Rome. And when he didn't overthrow the Roman Empire, they were disappointed and rejected him. What they missed was when Jesus came the first time, he conquered our greatest enemies, sin and death, by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. But Jesus still has some unfinished business on planet Earth. When he comes again as conqueror, he will come as the one who conquers Satan. We have the victory. It's already been accomplished through Jesus Christ. We'll look at Jesus as conqueror. And that leads to his other role to talk about, and that is Jesus as king. After the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus will come to earth to set up that literal kingdom on earth with its seat in Jerusalem. And God will fulfill all of his promises to believing Israel and to the church as well. Interestingly, during that perfect time, when Satan is bound for 1,000 years, people are enjoying the just and perfect reign of Jesus. Not everybody born during that time will pledge allegiance to King Jesus. Some will actually choose to rebel against Jesus. And that will mean the end of the world because it will be too late. And that leads to the role of Jesus as judge. Jesus as judge. We don't like to think of Jesus as a judge in our culture today. Do you know the most popular verse on the internet right now? It's not John 3:16. That used to be the most popular verse of the Bible. Now it's Matthew 7:1. "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Unbelievers and misguided Christians love to use that verse as a way to justify any evil they want to commit. No, God does judge us. Jesus is coming as a judge. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, a chapter I read every Saturday night to get ready to preach on Sunday, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season. because Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead. And that leads to Jesus as Lord. Jesus is Lord. After the last echo of the gavel has sounded, and everyone has received their rewards or just punishment, Jesus will reign over a new heaven and a new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, John said, for the first heaven and earth will have passed away. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death or mourning or crying or pain, for the first things will have passed away. There's one other role that, frankly, I've never seen anybody cover before, but I think we need to talk about, and that is Jesus as a friend. Jesus as our friend. Do you remember back in 2008? It seems so long ago. When Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska, was running for vice president. And Saturday Night Live loved to do these parodies of her. And in one skit, they had Tina Fey, who was playing Sarah Palin, saying supposedly, "I can see Russia from my house." And she didn't actually say that in real life, but it was close enough. "I can see Russia from my house." And everybody laughed about that. Well, the fact is, you could not see Russia from Alaska without some very powerful binoculars. You know, God has given us a powerful set of spiritual binoculars. It's called the Bible. Think of all you can see through the Bible. You can look through your spiritual binoculars and you can see the future. You can see the rapture, the second coming, the millennium, the new heaven, the new earth. Now, in those binoculars, you can't tell how far they may be away or how close they may be, but you can see all of those events. But looming over those events in the forefront is the person of Jesus Christ, the one who says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the one who holds your past, your present, and your future in my hands." And that realization that the Jesus who knows the future has planned the future, that realization of who Jesus is, ought to fill our hearts with unending hope and an unending desire for holiness as we prepare to enter into the end times. The Bible's teaching about Christ's return should fill us with hope and anticipation, not fear. And I pray today's message has encouraged you to live with your eyes focused on Jesus, the one who holds our future. Now, before we wrap up today's program, I want to share a touching note I received from Shannon. Shannon writes, "I listen to your message every morning on the radio. I'm so grateful I learned so much more from listening and hearing your message. The way you preach just opened so much to knowing more about Jesus." Well, thank you, Shannon, for those kind and encouraging words. And to everyone who supports Pathway to Victory, especially our Pathway partners, thank you for making it possible for listeners like Shannon to grow in their knowledge of Christ. Together, we are piercing the darkness with the light of God's Word. Now stay right there. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Most teachings about Bible prophecy focus on wars, natural disasters, and economic turmoil. But the end times shouldn't scare us. They should bring us hope. In his brand new book, Jesus Revealed in the End Times, Dr. Robert Jeffress takes a radically different approach to prophecy, helping you see the end times through the lens of Jesus Christ.
In my new book, I share why the Bible's prophecies about the last days should fill us with joy and peace as we anticipate the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Request your copy of Jesus Revealed in the End Times, along with a set of encouragement cards, when you give a generous gift to support Pathway to Victory, or when you join our team of Pathway partners. And when you give $100 or more, you'll also receive the complete Jesus Revealed in the End Times message series on DVD and audio disc, plus the personal and group study guide.
When Jesus comes again, he will conquer his enemies and our enemies. He will conquer Satan himself. He will conquer
sin and evil forever.
Thank you for supporting Pathway to Victory. Your partnership helps introduce hurting people to the hope of Jesus Christ through television, radio, and digital streaming. Together, we're sharing the life-transforming truth about our coming King with people living in spiritual darkness.
Today, we learn that prophecy isn't just about predicting future events. It's about revealing Jesus Christ. When we understand prophecy through the lens of Jesus, it fills us with hope and drives us toward holiness. Well, next time, we'll explore Jesus' role as Messiah, the Anointed One. We'll discover how He fulfills the threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. And we'll also learn why His role as Messiah is crucial for both His first coming and His glorious return. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next in our series, Jesus Revealed in the End Times. Jesus didn't spend a lot of time on the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. He ascended into heaven, and guess what? He's coming back again one day. And that's why, quite frankly, you could have an image of Jesus wearing a crown that would have just as been as accurate as Jesus on a cross.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, Jesus the Messiah, here on Pathway to Victory.
If you could go back in time and walk with the Apostle Paul on one of his journeys, would you do it? This May, let's go together on the life-changing Pathway to Victory Journeys of Paul Mediterranean Cruise.
Embark on a voyage of elegance and refinement aboard the luxurious Celebrity Ascent. Enjoy lavish staterooms, spacious balconies, and world-class dining. You'll experience breathtaking views, famous beaches, and crystal clear water in beautiful island destinations like Santorini, Mykonos, and Crete.
Walk with me and other believers in the very places where God's Word was written. Join us as we study His Word together. Surrounded by natural beauty, we will seek our Creator in His creation.
Reserve your spot on the Pathway to Victory Journeys of Paul Mediterranean Cruise. Call 888-280-6747 or visit ptv.org.